Good evening. Good to see each one of you is here. Brother Paul has asked that we read from Psalms 119, starting with verse 129 through verse 136. 129 through 136 of Psalms 119. Just a little bit there real quick. Glenn talked about the cross and being bold for the cross. We had the privilege this morning of being down in Virginia with Ken and Jane and Mike and Mimi. Pine Ridge here, and the Sunday school lesson was on Esther and the boldness that she had to stand up, and she had to die to herself also to do that. So I thought that kind of went along pretty good. So, okay, Psalms 119, starting at verse 129. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. At this time, all who are able, let us kneel for prayer.
Well, we extend a good evening to each one who has come, and to those who may join online. We welcome you also to our worship service tonight. We want to look at the thought of reading the Bible effectively. When I use the word effectively, I chose that word for two reasons. One would be is that we would find meaning and blessing in it. And the other thought is that it would make a difference in our lives because we read the Bible. And I've been asked to teach or preach at different places sometimes on helpful ways to study the Bible, some of the mechanics of that, as it would relate to using Bible study tools and things of that nature. But our focus tonight is on something different. The focus tonight is on our attitude and our approach to the Word of God and how that makes a significant difference in what we get out of the Word of God. So probably this is primarily focused on daily devotions, how we can make them meaningful through the reading of the Scriptures. So I want to go through some principles that I believe are in the Word of God that tell us about the Word of God, and then we want to just bring a few thoughts from the passage that was read, sort of as a summary to the thoughts that we're going to give here. So the first thought that we want to look at as we approach the Scriptures is to recognize that we are approaching words that are divinely inspired. Jesus said that the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so as we absorb God's divinely inspired words into our lives, we are giving or taking in that which will build up our spirit and that which will strengthen our life. And the word works in two ways. It speaks to both our minds and to our hearts. And so there are thoughts that need to be processed, but then as thoughts are processed and it goes into our heart, there are decisions that need to be made. There are attitudes that need to be changed. There are perspectives that need to be developed. And I think this is expressed in Jesus' words that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so think about it as we come to the Word of God, we're coming with the love of God that's going to embrace our mind and our heart. We're going to engage our mind and our heart in the reading of His Word. We know that our heart is going to need change to reflect the character of Christ, and our minds are going to be renewed. In other words, there's things in our mind that need to be flushed out, And there's things in our mind that need to be placed there in order to get our perspective where God would have it. And so if we look at the fact of reading the scripture as each day we're getting a mind reset, getting that mind realigned with where God wants us to go with our lives, and specifically I'd like to drill it down to look at each day as I'm reading this scripture for this day. What does God want me to do today with this scripture? I need to recognize the fact that as I take in God's word, He wants to transform my life by bringing His word into me. And we looked at the thought of loving God with all our heart and mind. And then there's this verse in 1 John 2:5 that says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby know we that we are in him." And so God has given us his word to perfect or to mature the love of God. And so we come to God's word because we love God with our heart and our mind, but we also are looking to God's word to mature that love into something that is godly. And so God's word helps to mature the love that we have for God, that the love that we have for God can become the love of God expressed to others in the way that God has expressed his love to us. So other people come to know the love of God that we have experienced because we are reading his word, and the love of God is being perfected in us, and now we're radiating the love of God and demonstrating that to the world that doesn't know God. We want to recognize that in the scriptures, God has joined together things that tend to require an equilibrium. And so there's going to be doctrine, and there's going to be relationship. There's going to be principles, and there's going to be commandments. There's going to be edification or building up, and then there's also going to be conviction. There's joy, there's repentance, there's love, there's holiness, there's nonconformity, or you say separation from the world, and then there's also showing friendship to the world. And as you go through the scripture, you see that there's these polarities. And I think it's important to know that, to recognize that, because we will tend to be strong in one of those areas. And when we see something in an area that, in other words, if we are more relationship oriented, when we see something in scripture that is relationship oriented, we gravitate towards that. But if we understand that God has joined together doctrine and relationship, in that same text, look for the doctrine. Okay, if I found the doctrine, where's the relationship? And how do I take this doctrinal understanding and I put it into a relationship so it has meaning? I'd like to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4:16. That gives us an example of what we're talking about here. That's, of course, going to require me to find it. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Thought I had it marked in my Bible, and obviously I forgot to. So it reads this way: "Take heed unto thyself." Taking heed unto thyself, that's awareness of who I am for the purpose of relationship. "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." So there's two things that we need to take heed to. "Continue in them." In other words, continue in both. "For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself." That's relationship. "And them that hear me," or that's how I transmit what I've learned in my relationship and the doctrine that I've learned to someone else. And In that relationship of taking heed to myself and taking heed to doctrine, I save both myself and those that hear me. And so both of these need to come into myself first in order for them to go out of myself and benefit someone else. Take heed unto thyself. So if I'm someone who is more thought-oriented or more doctrinal-oriented, I like the idea of developing thoughts and concepts and how they might fit together. But I can be very unaware of how, when I share this doctrinal aspect, somebody might be looking at me and saying, yeah, these are great thoughts, but then when I look at your life, I see this and I can't quite bring them together. And then there are people that are more relationship oriented, and so they're focused on being self-aware and also maybe focused on showing kindness, showing friendship. And then people look at them and say, well, I see that there's friendship there, there's kindness there, but it's like I never see truth being brought out. Like, the person avoids conflict. They avoid sharing truth because it might lead to a conflict. And so as we read Scripture, look at those balancing aspects in there. If we see love in there, we want to see holiness. If we see doctrine, we want to see relationship. If we see repentance, we also should recognize the fact that it leads to joy. And so those things are helpful. I have found to be helpful as I study the Bible to recognize that God is trying to balance our lives by reading the Scripture. Thirdly, we want to identify the thorns which might choke the word and make it unfruitful, and pray for those barriers to be removed. So we have the parable of the sower in relation to the word of God, and there's these thorns that come in and choke the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. So in other words, the word is read, the word is even to a degree understood, and it might even get some root, but it never stays there long enough to bear fruit. And in the explanation of that, it says that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And so as we come to the Scriptures, we can ask ourselves, what is happening in my life right now? What is on my mind right now that might be a barrier of distraction, that might keep me from getting the benefit of reading the Scripture that God wants me to get? Name it. Name that distraction. Make that part of your prayer, and when you identify it, give that over to the Lord and say, this is something that is going to be a problem as I read your word, because it's always going to be there. It's going to be there like as a mental block. My mind's going to just keep drifting back to that. Or if I'm in the middle of a relationship struggle and I read the Scripture, I'm always thinking about, well, how this Scripture might apply to that person or that situation. But I'm not reading it for my personal benefit. And so I need to identify those thorns in my life and look at them as for right now, at least, they're a stronghold in my life. They're a distraction in my life. I need to give them over to God so that I can get benefit from reading His Word. Another way of thinking about it might be is we come to the table of the Lord for communion in His Word. Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. And He says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is, the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so the idea of coming to Christ and partaking of Christ, Christ being the central theme in the Word, that is our daily sustenance. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, each day we should be seeking that nourishment. Most of us would not like on a regular basis to miss our daily meals. And that's that same principle is there in Scripture. Give us this day our daily bread. Every morning they went out and they gathered the manna. And Jesus was basing his teaching on your fathers had manna in the wilderness, and they went out each day and they gathered their manna. And within that context, he's saying, I am the bread of life. In other words, come to me every day and receive your daily bread. We know what distress and distractions can do to our bodily appetite. We can see it in our children. When something's bothering them, they sit there and they play with their food because their mind's on something else. That's exactly what happens in our daily reading devotions. Once our mind is distracted on something else, we're just simply pushing the food around our plate, but we're not getting nourished. Number four, we should approach and read the scriptures with reverential trembling and humility, knowing that God intends to convict me and change me in order to deliver me from the power of sin and to teach me to walk in the Spirit. So that's a pretty long sentence, I get that. But the thought is our first approach, God says, to this person will I look who trembles at my word. And if we take God's word seriously, and if we think about it this way, if you were to go and visit someone who had insight into every area of your life, and you made this agreement with them that you were going to go to them for every day for a month, and you were just going to share everything from your life, and you were going to just be yourself in front of that person, and they were going to look at your life, and they were going to point things out in your life that needed changed. Can you imagine what your thought would be as you approach this, like, what am I going to hear this time? What are they going to point out? What am I going to need to change? And so you would come with a degree of fear. Now, as we come before God, we don't want to come with a fear that's intending to hide or to have a barrier there. But the idea is that we come with reverence, that God is going to, through the reading of the word, God's going to look into our life and he's going to put his finger on things in our lives and say, this needs some attention. This needs changed, or this needs growth. Or here I want to encourage you. Here I want you to act in faith. But to believe that God is going to speak to my life, delivering me from the power of sin, and helping me to walk in the Spirit. Acts 5:32 says he gives the Spirit to those that obey him. So in other words, God gives his Spirit, the Spirit of power, to those who take his word seriously, because we can't obey Scripture on our own power. But if we come to Scripture with fear and trembling, with reverence before God, asking him to use Scripture to change our life, God empowers the person who wants to obey Scripture. He gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey him. Now, as we come to Scripture, James gives us an illustration. It's like coming to a mirror and looking in the mirror. So when we come to the mirror and we look into the mirror, if our hair needs combed, we see that, right? When we look in the mirror. If a couple shirt buttons are not buttoned, we look in the mirror and we see that, and we take care of that. And, you know, on the female side, there could be a list much longer, what they look for when they look in the mirror. But the point is, it would be pointless to look into a mirror and then say, I got to get that mirror fixed. Because that mirror is not showing the reflection that I want to see. I'm sure other people don't look at me or don't see what I see in that mirror. We're going to have to get another mirror. So James is saying, when you go into the Word of God, and the Word of God tells you who you are, and the Word of God tells you what you need to change, the person who can walk away from that experience and never be changed is like the person who looks into a mirror and says, that's not me in there. I don't know what's wrong with this mirror, but that is not me. And so the Word of God is a mirror that is designed to help us. The purpose of the mirror, the reason we have mirrors is not primarily because we're afraid to look into the mirror, but we know that if we have the right attitude about the mirror and we see that our hair is not combed, it gives us an opportunity to comb our hair and make an improvement. And that's the same thing with our life. as we look into the Word of God, the Word is quick and powerful, or alive and effectively working, is what that means, sharper than any two-edged sword. That means both sides are sharpened, so no matter which way it goes or turns into our lives, it's equally cutting. And it's going in deep. The purpose of the cutting is piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So I thought about that. Why is the soul and the spirit being separated as the Word of God goes in? And we think about what makes up the soul. The soul is primarily our mind, our will, our emotions. We might say in a sort of a broad picture, it's sort of our personality. It's sort of who we are. We are known by our personality. And then there's a spiritual aspect, which is our conscience and the Holy Spirit working in us, developing our spirituality, our connection to God. So soul is primarily who we are as a person. Spirit is who we are in connection with God. And so the Word is causing that separation so that we can see the one and see the other. Why is that important? Well, with my mind and with my will and with my emotions, I can actually say things that sound like a Christian. I can make choices that make me look like a Christian. And I can even have emotions at times that would make me feel like a Christian. But am I living my Christian life in the power of my personality, in the strength of my will, in making choices and being determined to stick to those choices? That can go a long way. And in other words, a person that doesn't make up their mind to do something will seldom get it done. But we can make up our mind to do something and we can live in our own strength. And so the Word of God goes into our heart and says, okay, what are you doing in the power of your own will? We need to make the right choices. But are we making the right choices, and are we seeking the power of God to strengthen those choices? And also, are we giving those choices over to the Spirit of God and asking, are they the right choices? Are they the choices of my personality, or are they choices of the Spirit of God? That makes a big difference in how we live the Christian life. When we're opening our lives up to and saying, everything that I'm doing, even the things that I'm doing that may be right, am I doing it in the power of the Spirit, or am I doing it in the power of my own personality? God's Word is that discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, not just our outward actions, but it helps us understand our motivations. We're doing this, but why are we doing this? Are we doing this because it makes us feel good if we do it? Are we doing this because this is what we've been taught to do, and we'd be afraid of what other people might think if we did something differently? Or are we really doing this out of a heart of love for God? And so the Scriptures come into our lives alive and powerful, help us to discern all these aspects of our lives in order to help us move from being the natural man to the spiritual man. Sometimes our speech gives us away. Most of us probably at one time or another had an experience in our life where we're going through a certain experience and we have certain thoughts about that and we want to share it with someone else. And so we begin to talk and to share our experience with them. And we think that by using our words, which are coming from our heart, that when we're done with this conversation, they're going to see it exactly the way that we tried to convey it. And then we discover, after having spoken with them, they came to a different conclusion based upon what they heard. The words that were coming out of our heart gave them a different picture of what was going on in our heart than what we imagined was going on in our heart. And so God uses other people sometimes to say, well, I heard you say this. Why did you say it that way? When I hear something like that, it often means this. I detected some frustration in here, in your tone. I detected some impatience. Maybe you're focused on being right more than you are on being lovingly right and thinking about what is going to give the best result in someone else's life. And so other people can help us there, but the Word of God is intended to go into those areas of our life, help us make those discernments. What happens if we don't do this in our life? What happens if we, on a regular basis, do not allow God's Word to do this for us? Here's one of the things that happens. When someone teaches, preaches, or has a conversation with us that's spiritual and starts to touch those areas of our life where God's Word has not penetrated, we start to react defensively because we're getting conviction in an area of our life that we have not opened up to the Spirit of God. It's easy to become defensive. It's easy to become angry. But if on a regular basis we are opening ourselves up to the Word of God, what it does for us, we don't become offended as quickly because we are used to God putting His finger on something in our life and saying, this is an area where you could use improvement. But when we don't allow God to do that, and somebody else is interacting with us, and we feel like their finger is laid on our life, and they might not even be trying to do it, but the finger is laid on our life, and we've closed that area of our life off to God, now someone else is exposing it. Now we are ripe to be offended because they're touching an area of our life where we've shut it down to God. The best thing, or to say one of the things that we can do to help us through offenses, help us through relationship struggles, is on a regular basis say, God, show me maybe where you have offenses against me. I want to open my life up to those areas. I want your word to come in and to help me in those areas. And as we become used to God convicting us, us seeing in our lives the need for change, when other godly people speak into our lives, if we're used to opening our hearts to God and to that experience, the same person or the same message can be received in two different ways. We can receive it understanding that it is convicting and we need to change. Or we can receive it defensively because we feel like someone is exposing us or attacking us. And I'm not addressing the speaker right now because the speaker could be wrong. I'm simply saying, what is our attitude towards the Word of God? Because our attitude towards the Word of God in private is the same attitude that we bring in public before other people as they speak the Word of God into our lives. We want to read the Scriptures with anticipation, knowing that God intends to comfort, strengthen you, and give you hope. Romans 15:4 says that the things which are written for our comfort and our strengthening. And we know that hope is an anchor of the soul, Hebrews 6:19-20. And Romans 5:5 says hope doesn't lead to shame, or hope makes not ashamed. And so if we think about as we're receiving the Word of God, don't just look at it in the aspect of this is all going to hurt. It's also God's way to give us hope. God never addresses an area of our life to defeat us. God addresses an area of our life to give us hope. Hope for growth. Hope to become something more than what we are today. Hope that where I'm stuck right now, I don't need to remain stuck because I have hope through the Word of God, that as I receive it, I allow the Word of God to wash away the doubts. I accept it. The promises, my future starts to look different when I receive with openness the Word of God. As we read a text of Scripture, try to read it within the larger context of the chapter and book. Try to put yourself into that context. Imagine yourself in the same set of circumstances as the author. Think about how you would respond, and then think about how the Word of God is telling us to respond. Meditate on what we've read for a better understanding. Psalm 119, 73, and 99 tells us that David's saying, I have more understanding than all my teachers because thy word is my meditation. The thought here is I can only get so much understanding being imparted from someone else. There's going to be a limit to what I can understand and grow if it's only based on what I receive from others. But if I meditate on the Word of God and I allow the Spirit of God to speak, or I should say to speak to me on that truth through meditation in my heart, in my mind, my understanding will grow. I will begin to see areas of my life where I can make application. And then as we come back day after day, we can look at what was the text that we looked at yesterday? Now what's the text that I'm looking at today? What did God say yesterday? Refresh that. Now today, what is my new text saying? And that's the thought of, it's referenced in Scripture as precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. The thought is, as we grow in building blocks, and we don't want to forget what we've learned yesterday. What God taught us yesterday, we try to carry into today, and what we learned today, try to tie those two together. And as we go through life, and as we study the Word of God, precept upon precept, line upon line, what it's saying is, little by little we grow. Because it's like connecting dots that bring together a fuller, and that picture through life just keeps growing and growing as we see how the Word of God connects to each other. Learn to personalize and apply the Scripture you read in the morning. Pray specifically what you can absorb from the Word of God. Pray specifically for a way to implement it that day. Remember, we pray that prayer, give us this day our daily bread. So that means what I got today is what I need for today. That's the energy that I have for today. That's what God intends for me to use today. So what I've learned today, I want to use today. And if you make that intentional, you will be surprised at the opportunities that God gives you to use that specific scripture that day. When that starts to happen, we get excited about the Word of God because I read this morning. God prepared me for this situation, and I'm not here not knowing what to do. God prepared me in the morning for what that I am now facing. Think about it also, your private reading as preparing you for your corporate worship. 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, every one of you, let him come with a psalm, with a doctrine, and think about coming to God's, to the corporate gathering with God's people. What a difference that makes if everybody is bringing something. Everybody's bringing something that they learned in their private reading this week. And now we're all going to get together and we're all going to worship. And some of this of what I've learned this week, some of it might come out through the Sunday school class. Some of it might come out as I hear other people teaching or expressing their thoughts. There might be some correlation. Fellowship after the service is another opportunity to share through the week. Opportunity to share with other people. But all of that, as our minds are in the Word of God, we're living the Word of God, All of that will enrich the corporate worship experience because God has already prepared our hearts to worship. Now, you might be listening to this and say, okay, that was a lot, and I can't even remember all those points. I understand that. Can I just boil it down to very simply saying, just do it. Do it with the right attitude and approach. We all know how we should approach God. Just approach God that way in relation to His Word. And you might say, well, I struggle to get understanding out of the verses, and other people read it and they get all this, and I read it and I only get this. You're only responsible to live what you can get and what you have gotten. But there's something about the Word of God is there's some truths that lie on the surface, they're very easy to get. And there's other ones that through meditation, as we mine deeper, there's more to get. And in our lives go through different phases. And what we learn from the parable of the sower is good soil doesn't all have the same yield. There's some 30, there's some 60, and there's some 100. And that can be a difference in difference of people, but it can also be a difference in different phases of our lives. There's phases of our lives where we probably struggle to get 30, and there's other phases of our lives where we may feel full and overflowing. The point is, receive it into good ground, and it will bear fruit. That's the promise. You might say, well, you know, I feel like my mind is just not as sharp as others. And that may or may not be true. Sometimes we devalue ourselves and sometimes we overestimate ourselves. But you know, there's the first commandment is not to know as much as everyone else. That's not the first commandment. The first commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love God with what God has given us. Love God with what God has given you and allow that to develop. That's all that God is asking of you. But it's also all that God is asking of you. He's asking for it all, and that's all that He's asking. But God will grow what He has given you. God gave you what He intends to grow. He's not going to ask something of you that He has not already given you to grow. You might say, well, I don't have a good memory, and I really struggle to meditate because a half hour later, I can't even remember what I read. I probably remember the book, I might remember the chapter, but I can't remember the verse and I can't remember what it said. Well, there are things you can do. There's a pen and a paper, write a couple thoughts down, put it in your pocket, check it throughout the day, put it on your phone. There's various tools you can use. Try to refresh your mind. Why is that so important? We live by the scripture that's in our mind. It's that simple. We live by the scripture that's in our mind. And we have to find a way to keep it in our mind. And you might say, well, I understand, but I don't have a good memory. And so we talked about you can use the aids, but there's another thought I'd like you to think about is if you don't have a good memory, then you need your cup to keep being filled, right? If there's a leak, then you just need to keep filling it. And it's really not a bad thing if your life has an inflow and an outflow. Maybe think about how can I use this before it leaves my memory? Who could I, before I forget how I was blessed this morning, who could I message with this? And this can start with your marriage. It can start with your close friend. I mean, I can remember times where, you know, Alice has her place where she has her private devotions and, you know, boom, 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 down the steps. And I'm doing whatever, and it's like, she's like, here, he, right here, you got to read this. You got to read this. I just read this morning, and this is a thought. Now, at 10 o'clock that evening, if I was to say, Alice, it's quiz time, what did you tell me this morning? There might be some evenings it might not go so well. But the point is, when there was an inflow, and when it was fresh, there was an outflow. All of us can do that. What God pours in, find a way to let out. We're earthen vessels. Our lives are like clay pots, clay jars, and over time they get cracks all over them. Just let them leak out the grace of God. Now let's look at these verses here, and we'll do this quickly. Just a thought out of each verse. Psalm 119:129. My testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul doth keep them. I see enthusiasm. That's what I see in that verse, enthusiasm. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. That's basically saying, God, illuminate my life. Flip the light switch, turn the light on. That's simply what it's saying. 131, I opened my mouth and panted, or I desired, or I longed for thy commandments. 131 says that there's desire there. Wherever there is desire, desire turns into affection. If you feed that desire, desire will turn into affection and priority. So feed that desire with the Word of God, and the Word of God will become a priority. 132, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Never forget that we always stand in need of the mercy and grace of God. Makes it quite a difference in our life if we keep that thought refreshed. I never get to the point in my spiritual experience that I don't constantly need the mercy and the grace of God. That makes a world of difference in relationships if we keep that in our mind. 133, order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Give the word priority in my life. Let it rule over my life and let it dispel rebellion and lawlessness. 134, deliver me from the oppression of man and so will I keep thy precepts. Jesus said it this way, the truth will set us free. It's amazing what God's truth will do. When we have God's truth as a guiding principle, how it can take the fear of man out of our lives, the control of other people out of our lives, give stability to our lives because we have an anchor of our soul. 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Make thy face to shine. So, back in verse 130, we ask for entrance of light. Turn on the light. Bring the light in. 135, we're saying, make your face shine or let there be a glow in my life. So as I receive illumination, let my life be a light, is what it's saying. Receive God's light in order to project God's light. And 136, rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. What is happening here? As I understand and grow in God's law, I'm understanding God's will for my life and understanding God's will for other people's lives, and my emotions become aligned with God's will. How important that is, that God's will and God's word would shape my emotional makeup. In the New Testament, we also have the verse that Jesus says, these things have I written unto you that your joy might be full. And so there again, these things have I written so that your emotions might be joyful. So we learn to grieve over what God grieves over, and we learn to express joy over what God expresses joy over. God's word shapes our emotional makeup. And what a blessing that is when God is in control of our emotions and our emotions are not running our lives.
want to thank Brother Paul for being used by the Spirit tonight for encouragement and also a challenge to me and each one of us. Let's stand for a word of prayer.